But Cadmo, on his trusty blues guitar with Let Your Light Shine. His name is actually Kevin Moore. But he lives in the South, and it's Cadmo. So he calls himself Cadmo. It makes life a lot easier. I think that's a great attitude toward life. There's no need to put people through extra paces just to say your name. He says, well, they call me Cadmo down here. So that's going to be my name, Cadmo. That is from his 2004 album, Keep It Simple. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrice Lead, and today we're keeping it simple. I must explain my absence yesterday. They ran a substitute program because I had a little difficulty with my medication. It was changed, and I felt like an anvil had fallen on my head. And it stayed there all day. It was really not a pleasant day yesterday, but, you know, I'm a tough old girl. So I came through with that, and here I am. I'm glad to be back with you. In fact, this is part of the healing process, you know, just having contact with you and exchanging thoughts and opinions and ideas with you gets a person better right away. So I expect within the next 5 minutes, I should be in good shape. All right. What are we going to talk about today? There's a simple question, but a complex answer to it. And I'm framing it in the context of the times that we're in right now, which is, you know, people are getting very hyped up about this coming election, 2024, and Trump, and whether he will prevail or whether he'll be stopped. Eventually, he will be stopped. But I'm going to be asking you to address yourself to this question as fairly as you can, objectively, that's the word I was looking for, as objectively as you can. What is likely to be the end result in terms of the people's politics? What is likely to be the end result of the next election or the coming election? And what do you see developing now? Are you worried about it? Does it bother you that we're stuck in a place, as they used to say, we're stuck and stupid, we just can't figure out what next to do? Except, of course, the answer is always organize. Organize a response. But I don't see very much of that happening. I see people responding according to issues that are in play that require some kind of reaction. And the reaction is given, and then it dies down and eventually goes away. But are we getting better at this whole thing of staying power? Are we getting better at moving into the shadows and staying there until the next election? I'm hearing all kinds of buzzings and ringings. Am I okay?
You're good.
Okay. So what is the state of affairs as you see it? What is the state of affairs of our political situation? And is it likely to pull us through? Or are we repeating the same cycle? We get excited for a hot minute And then everything falls apart and the status quo resumes. Are we growing up yet about this business of political action and how we shape our future through political action? Or are we just waiting for the next stimulus and we respond and we think that's enough? And we just hope that things will work out all right. Yeah, we have to change this. It is devastating to our community, this cycle. And it becomes a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy that nobody need fear us. Because we make a lot of noise. And before you know it, we fold up our tents and traps and we go home. And we look forward to the next battle. You get a sense that we growing up and sustaining a battle that we have in mind, that we need to get certain results. We're going to get them. We're going to organize and get them. Or are we just waiting to kind of get a sense of how people are feeling out there and gauge that and use that as some kind of indicator to inform us as to how we then proceed with our political activity? If you can today, let's stick with that subject, because you'll be telling us what you see as our immediate future, whether it makes sense to even think or to believe that we have what it takes to create the changes that we need, and that we will do it, or are we just posturing? It's a kind of harsh question in a way, because it may sound like I'm pointing the finger of blame already. But no, I'm not. I am genuinely concerned about getting to the point of critical mass, all of us, and staying with the issues until we resolve them to our satisfaction. And not just falling apart, falling away, doing something else that we think is more sexy, that will get us more media attention. But the hard work, are we doing the hard work? Are we prepared to do the hard work? Because I don't recall a time as in recent years as important as this, as where we are now. And so we have to be real about what we're doing. 888-874-4888. See, you give me one day off and I come back and all hell is breaking loose already. Keep me well and you'll be all right. You give me a day off and I come back with, you know, an axe and a saw and whatever else, weapons, and I'm ready to fight. Okay, I hope you are too. I mean, all kidding aside, we are in very serious trouble. And we don't have leaders as such anymore. We don't have them. But we have to have somebody or some group or some leadership that guides this battle, because it should have started already. And who's going to do it? I don't know. But we're all in the same soup, so we better work at finding out how we're going to get where we want to get to, and what is the fight going to be? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. We start out with John from New Jersey. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
I hope you're feeling well today.
Hey, I'm okay.
I had an anvil fall on my foot once. I can't imagine what it feels like on your head, you know. So listen, I have a bone to pick. The bone is you keep referring to us having to organize. We are in a poker game for our lives. In a poker game, you don't reveal your cards to anyone. And that is what we're looking at. We're looking at the slightest move in the direction of actually trying to revolt to the lies that we're told day in and day out. And all of the murdering and slaughtering that we're responsible for. The moment we reveal those cards is the moment that they will come down and crush us like insects. This is what they're hoping we will do. And I really don't, it's a conundrum, if that's the word. Words are not my specialty. But the second you let people know what you're up to is the second what you're up to will end by any means necessary. They will poison us. They will drug us. They will create ridiculous scenarios of pandemics just to eliminate anyone who doesn't agree with them. And that is what we're up against. Leaders are afraid to in fact, show their cards because they won't be leaders for long. You know, I can't help but think of Pat Tillman. You know who Pat Tillman was? Pat Tillman was a phenomenal football player, okay? When 9/11 happened, he quit being a football player and he joined the military, only to find out that the military was the wrong place for him to be, and he supposedly died from friendly fire. Yeah, right. Okay, because he was outspoken and he told it like it is. And that's what we're up against. We're up against that. You know, what do we have to do? Become communists in order to stand up against democracy and
I think you're being a bit extreme. I understand.
Oh, I'm being extreme.
Your concern.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're being a bit extreme because what you're saying, in effect, is we have to be very careful about organizing. Since when has that not been true? From the day one, everybody has known that. But
well, that was back in the day. You could, because the surveillance wasn't in every room in your house, in every from every word that came out of your mouth, from anybody.
You have to do something. What are you going to do? Just yield.
You have to lay your life on the line. That's what you have to do.
You have to come up with some kind of a plan that allows you to realize some kind of or some number of your objectives as a group. That has to be done, regardless of all the things that you just said. And they're true.
I know it has to be done, but it has to be can't be such a secret that nobody else knows about it. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
You're telling us
it has
what
to be,
can't be done.
A revolution has to be spontaneous.
Hold on for a second. You're telling us what cannot be done. And to some extent, we already know that. We know that taking on a battle is no mean feat. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. And it requires a lot of dedication and courage and so forth. I understand that. But I'm not interested right now in what we can't do. I'm asking, what do you think is possible to do, given the realities we know so well? What do you think?
What do I think is possible to do? I don't think anything is possible. But the second you do it, it will be over. It will be
okay,
over.
Okay, but then, you're not telling us what it is. What is anything? If you could get a little bit more concrete and tell us, give us an idea of what you think.
I'm not about to do that because I'll be one of the first people they take out.
Okay, all right. Thanks so much for calling in, because matter what I ask, you will come up with the, well, I'll be the first one on the line. I'll be the first one shot. I'll be the first one killed and poisoned. Okay. But today, we still are asking, put yourself out there a little bit and talk about possibilities. Talk about possibilities, especially in terms of organizing. What is it that we have to concentrate on? Thanks a lot for getting us started today. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Utrice.
Hello, good afternoon to you, Ed.
Hope that air rolls off your head. I can't imagine the pain that that would cause. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better.
Thank you. Just being here with everybody, it is a tonic. It's great.
Yeah, well, I'm glad it's helping you improve. Pertaining to your question as far as political posture or the political position of today, the fundamental problem is people don't know how to organize. They don't understand what political work is and what the culmination of it should be or how to structure it. There's a lot of reasons why we don't get the civics education that we used to get in school. We don't get the political education from opposing viewpoints like we used to back in the 60s and the 70s with television shows like Crosstalk or the Neil Lauer News Hour. We don't have the information. We have a glut of information with the internet, with YouTube, with access to computers, Twitter, but a lot of the information is just fluff. And you have to make a concerted effort to get to the meat and potatoes and to understand what the political process is and how it's work. You know, it's not glamorous. It's not sexy. You ain't AOC. You're not the squad. It's people doing things locally. It's working on local issues. It's going to council meetings. It's going to community board meetings. It's going to school board meetings. It's developing a platform and sticking to that platform and implementing the mechanisms that can promote the platform. Joining your community board, participating in your local board, learning who your neighbors are, all of these things, develop these mechanisms and passing them on. And it's an arduous process. But I don't think the first thing I think we have to do is educate. We have to educate and agitate. People think vote and that's it. And that voting is the culmination of all of your work because you've got to have something to vote for. Whatever Democrat, Republican, whether they be the same party, your issues are your issues. You have to identify your issues, acquire a group of people that are interested in those same common issues and represent that. And then force your political leaders to allocate the funds and resources and power that is necessary to implement those issues. And then stand by those issues, develop institutions. And it's an arduous process. But without the beginning of the process, then, you know, it's a waste of time.
Do you think we've lost courage and tenacity and the will to prevail?
Yes. I think we've lost courage. And to that, not only that, I think we've lost the intellectual ability to actually be able to comprehend what politics is. We're too reticently moved by emotion and gestures and Twitter politics and Facebook politics. You know, it's garbage. You've got to have some foundation. You can't be an empty suit. And we got a lot of empty suits around the world. People making postures and moves and saying things and then doing the exact opposite. No one's being held accountable by any type of process. And when you got that, you got a whole bunch of empty suits that blow with the wind. Summertime soldiers.
Do you see or do you think that this time around, this election, this national election that we face, will resonate somewhat differently from previous elections because people are getting the hang of it, that the work is theirs to do. And if they don't do it, it won't be done.
Honestly, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not as wide-ranging as I would like to be, but from what I'm seeing in locally, I just think people are going with the flow. I mean, they're hoping for the best. I know the COVID situation plays a major part in a lot of people's decision-making processes, and that's rendering a lot of people impotent. But I don't think that people understand the political process on a level to where they can be proactive in it. I think they're just going with the flow. I think this election will go like other elections. Usually when the Democrats have the presidency, the seats flip back to the Republican Party. I mean, we still haven't addressed the gerrymandering. We still haven't addressed the Electoral College. We still haven't addressed the basic numbers game that this election, that these elections are based on the mechanisms that run them. So, I mean, we're not going to address the fundamental problem of your vote not really counting for anything, depending upon how your district is drawn, or the Electoral College, which is a vestige of slavery. I mean, we don't address those fundamental forces that control the vote, then we're just wasting our time.
Wow. So I take it you're not all the way hopeful, but there's a little glimmer of hope somewhere?
I'm local. Like I said, all politics are local. WCCL said it, I say it. You know, I see a lot of local things happening in the neighborhood that I live in, Queens. Even though there's no major elections coming up, but I see some neighborhood organizations, some local organizations, trying to make some moves and do some things. And, you know, we got to play towards the youth. This is the future. This is the young people's world. And I don't consider myself to be young people, but I try to leave it on them because they're going to have to handle this. I mean, come on, you've got cloudy skies because there's a fire 3,000 miles away on the other side of the nation. And you got cloudy skies in New York because of that. And, you know, what's happening? What's going on? You know, when are we going to really address the fundamental issues that basically deal with life on this planet as we know it and stop worrying about this minutiae political, cultural personality garbage? I don't see that fundamental change in the national election or national politics. So I just keep on hoping for local and keep the faith.
Okay. Well, it makes sense what you say, and I'm listening. Thanks so much for calling in and contributing. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air. What do you think is going to happen this election season? Are we going to see increased activity at the local level especially? Are we going to see a more vibrant political response? Is it going to make a difference? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, good afternoon, Teresa. Hope all is well with you.
Thanks.
I'm figuring if things the way that there are right now, there's not going to be a lot of political action towards the electoral process. I'm not saying that there won't be any political action at all. I do think that there will be some political actions, but not towards the electoral process. I got a feeling there's going to be another offshoot of a political party, because times like these kind of cultivate that type of action. I'm not sure what it's going to be, who it's going to be from. Is it going to be from a left perspective, a right perspective, but stuff, you know, when we're in times like these, it always offshoots some sort of political action. You know, about 10 years ago, we witnessed, you know, the Tea Party, and they kind of offshooted from, you know, what was going on during that time. And, you know, whatever perspective that you, you know, think about the Tea Party, you know, and their political views, you got to give them credit about how they organized and how they kind of made their way to the national scene. So it's like, you know, we always have to kind of examine those types of situations when they turn up. And, you know, I wanted to also respond to the first caller about not taking any political action because of, you know, death threats or, you know, threats of your life. You know, I myself, you know, I don't regard myself as a, you know, quote unquote political organizer, but I know definitely me associating with people within Chicago who you don't see on the news a lot who are organizing at the grassroots level. You know, just me associating with those people, I know that I'm being watched and I'm being heard by people who would think that, you know, we would shake up the system. So, but the thing is that we can't, and you expressed that to that caller as well, we can't let that bother you. Because whether you're organizing or not, they're surveilling you anyway. So if they're going to surveil you, then you might as well do something. And so for me, it's just a matter of, you know, if they're going to do something to me, I'm definitely going to have to do something in order for them to remember me by, if that's the case. But, you know, life goes on, and you just want to hope that your word out there, you know, as far as, you know, giving people political education spreads, you know, across your community, across the city, across the country. And sometimes it doesn't take a rah-rah person or somebody to give a great speech, to start shaking up things. I mean, we're coming up on the 192nd anniversary of David Walker's appeal. And that pamphlet, during the time that it was written, shook up a lot of things in the South. And he just wrote a 50-page pamphlet, which caused a lot of stir. So I still believe that, you know, print media, whether it be, actual print or electronic, still makes a difference as well. So, you know, but you just got to go in, you know, whatever lane that you are, you know, accustomed to. If you know how to speak, then speak. If you know how to write, then write.
Are you hopeful? Yeah. Are you hopeful, Henry, that there will be a discernible change in people's attitudes and commitment to creating changes in their community that are long overdue? Are you seeing any hints of that formulation coming together right now?
I see hints. And I have hope for it spreading on a much wider basis. Just looking at it from a Chicago perspective, there are organizations that are making moves in regards to educating people politically, and doing some work within the community and kind of like taking the problems of the communities day by day. And as they get a handle on some of these issues that, you know, the people in the Black and brown community suffer, then they graduate on to other issues that affect the community. And for me, I think that approach works because of the fact that, you know, too many times organizations come on the scene and they want to take on all the problems. And that's not, you know, and this is why organizations don't last, because they're trying to take on too many things. Let's focus on one issue. Then when we can get a handle on it, then let's go to the next issue and then the next issue and then the next issue.
Are you hopeful about the next election that you would see a manifestation of a rebirth of community power?
I think I do have hope for a rebirth of community power, but I'm not hopeful in regards to when we're talking about electoral politics. I'm not hopeful for any of the candidates or majority of the candidates or even the people who get elected to be supportive of that community power. But I think, like I said before, stuff like this cultivates, you know, people who, you know, and I'm honestly, for me, I think a lot of people's backs are against the wall right now and they need to do something. So I think this might cultivate something that would definitely garner more community organization from the people, you know, within that particular community. So, yes, I am hopeful.
Okay. Well, thank you. You gave us quite a window through which to see how things are developing or will develop in Chicago. Thank you very much, Henry, for calling in and contributing. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon.
As I think about this discussion, what comes to mind for me is what I see is the fact the oligarchs that are in the ruling class that own the U.S. of A. and its empire, lock, stock, and barrel, they are not going to give this up to benefit the people of this country or the world. So this idea that you can tinker around with going to board meetings and, you know, talking about something to a city councilman or something, that's nice. But the point is, there's no fundamental change that the ruling class is going to allow without some kind of revolution. Now, in this case, I don't think any violent revolution would play very well because the ruling class is ready for that and they know what to do with their police and their army and their other forces. But the point is, it's necessary for the people to get out into the streets and just stop things as they are. And that's the closest we're going to get. Now, what's going to happen is that the ruling class is going to do what they usually do. Anytime there is a rebellion among the masses, those are the people they rule, that's us, they throw out the bones, just like Roosevelt did. He threw out the bones and to quiet people down. But those at the top maintained power. And when they were able to, they pulled back some of these bones and took them out of the mouths of some people. So that's what we have, a situation where we have a country that was established by of upper class that never had any intention of having a real democracy that was ruled by the people. And to think that we're going to have some little election where we have a one-party system with the two divisions and both are owned by those who rule, that we're going to get some substantial changes and we can go to school and learn some civics and that sort of thing and go to community board meetings. I mean, that is wishful thinking, and that is not going to make this place a place of justice and liberty and freedom for all people, and stop this from being an imperial nation that has its tentacles all over the world. So that's what I say. It's going to be, have to be a rebellion, getting the bodies in the streets and taking the risk. And that's what people have to do. So no one is going to be able to go to some voting booth and think that this is going to really change the direction of those who rule, want things to go in their favor. And as most of us who are paying attention are noticing, that things are getting better and better and better for those who rule. They're getting richer and richer and richer, and the people are suffering more and more, regardless of what phenotype they have. They don't care anything about the phenotype. Their basic rule is divide and conquer any way they can.
Has President Biden begun to throw out some bones?
Yes.
Well, that's a fast answer.
He is doing his job to throw out some bones. So that's what he has to do. So usually when they throw out bones, it comes to a time when they can take those bones back. But throwing out bones has the effect, in some cases, of quieting down the masses of people. So that's the job of those who rule, to keep the people tamed, to quiet them down. And if there's an uprising or some kind of upset among the people, to get the number of bones that you need to quiet that down. And that's how the place is run. And the people who are at the bottom, you want to continue to use them in your imperial wars. You, the ruling class, the corporations, and those who run the business of war, you want to keep them in power, so you'll have plenty of contracts, and half the budget of the country goes into their pockets. So you want to keep everything that we have here in the interests of those who rule, at the expense of the masses of people that live here. And that's what we have today. And other part is, the most important part is the secret of ruling is divide and conquer, divide and rule, and cut it up any way you can so you can keep people divided about all kinds of stuff, you know, and that is what the ruling class does. And if you don't get that, I don't know where you're living.
Do you think this time, this coming election, do you think people would take on a more intense interest in the business of politics and what comes to their communities and changes that are necessary to be made, whether Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter, change is needed. Do you think people are ready to create the change they need?
Well, that's a nice idea. However, we've got to realize that the ruling class, that small group of people, less than 1%, are very skillful in training people, and people are well trained. And as long as you can train people and use the techniques of let's say, Vernet, you know, public relations and whatnot, you're able to manipulate the people any way you want. And most people are at the stage, the masses of people, that is, to fall for it and take their bones and consider how lucky they are to caught the bone and to caught the bone and go on business as usual. So even though you got Democrat and Republican divisions of the Uniparty, the people are in the same position. And the big thing here is it's getting worse because the wealth of the ruling class is getting larger and what the people have is getting smaller. But the point is the people are well-trained, and that's why the ruling class has got the upper hand. And a Republican and Democrat, it doesn't make any difference. You just have to know how to play the game. And if you don't know what the game is about, you're in trouble.
Thank you very much, Brother David, for calling in and contributing. As you always do, you teach us quite a bit in a short bit of time. Thank you. 888-874-4888. As this election looms, what is going to be the precursor for us before this election? What are we going to initiate as a preamble to indicate that we are not playing? We are very serious about certain things that we want. We put them on the table, and they must be adhered to, or else there's going to be even bigger trouble. Are we ready for the fight? Are we getting ready for the fight? 888-874-4888. You know, people would wait and wait and wait, and then at the last minute they think they could change everything. At the last minute, they think that they'll hold a protest and they would stage news conferences and whatnot, and that these things are going to change the objective conditions on the ground, but they don't, and they won't. We should be seeing a lot of activity at ground level by now. But we're not seeing very much of that, are we? What is happening? Why do we wait for somebody to initiate the action? And then we might join in, we may not. But in any event, we would have had no part in initiating action. What is the hesitancy, you think, about initiating action? John from New Jersey had started us off today talking about the perils of doing just that. In this country, people have suffered, people have died, people have been killed, people have been beaten severely, people have paid an inordinate price for the exercise of their constitutional rights and for building or attempting to build community. Are we going to arrive at a point at any definitive time soon when we change that mindset? And we change it because things are too important and it's getting worse. Our conditions are deteriorating and something has to happen. But we're looking to see who will initiate the action. Is that where you are? G from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. How you doing? All right, okay. Well, I will say something. Confusion works in a society like this.
I'm hearing a lot of clicks. what's going on?
Well, I'm going to get to a stationary spot. I'm in a stationary spot, so I'm not going to be moving. So I'll just try to say this kind of quick. Take my mask off. Confusion works very well in this so-called society. You're always uncertain which way to turn, which who's giving you facts. I mean, the COVID situation is a good example. I think the AIDS situation was a good example with, you know, it came out with AZT, then you found out later that it wasn't really good. The different products that are, that you are led to believe that are good for you and going to help you, jobs, religion, a lot of things where you're told. And you're told something. And then it appears to be good and good for you. But then you find out later that it isn't. And there's always notices and information. And I realize I'm speaking in general. I know you want more detail. But I'm just saying in general, you're pulled in different directions constantly. The ads, like the brother said, Bernay, Dr. Bernay, who public relations person, you know, he said that the public's mind is confused, malnourished. And that was like the 1920s, and it seems to be still today. And that seems to work, because if you keep people malnourished on a physical level, and I guess you could say on other levels, then you can control them if they're hungry.
But come to the question, if you don't mind. Come to the question of how do you believe that this election year might serve as a parting point from all the things that have been done before, where people become a bit more focused and a bit more serious about their interests and are working or will be working toward community development, community interest?
Community development? Well, I would say some of the situations that have been, that turn out to be a letdown. With Mr. Biden and, you know, the $15 wage, and we didn't get that, the different economic stimulus packages where we are led to believe certain things and we didn't get it. So now people are probably going to refocus their attention, their political attention, and to reevaluate the leading political people that are in our faces. And say, well, is this person really good?
But is that a fair criticism? The man just got into office.
Well, okay, yeah. Okay, so I'm not saying totally throw people away. But, I mean, people may decide to reevaluate.
Well, what I'm saying is people need to reevaluate the political realities as well. He just got into office.
Well, I'm just him.
And people who need these things more than anybody else, they're not organized. They want people to kind of spoon feed them and say, well, I know we talked about the $15 an hour living wage, but come on. He just got in. He's been beaten up already.
I
don't see people saying, okay, he may not be perfect, but he is trying his best to do what it is we want him to do, therefore we're going to support him. I don't see support in the streets over the $15 wage for Biden. I don't see that people are backing up. This is very important. This is political work.
Okay.
If somebody's trying to get something done in your interest, there should be a lot of support for it. But there's no support. People are just waiting and saying, well, this is what we want. Go get it done. That's not even
that's a part of it.
Worth discussing.
That's a part of it, but I would see, what I see also is that people are working more than one job, and I think they're exhausted. And they mean that some people have the energy, but I see a lot of people that don't have the energy from working two or three jobs, Beatrice.
But it's not everybody. My point is, I understand all of that.
I know it's not everybody. I understand
get
that too.
Get off your butt and register your concern and register your support when it is in your interest. To just sit there and say, well, you know, times are hard. They're hard for everybody. So we need to see a more active participation when people, they articulate an interest. He's trying to respond. In some areas, he's been successful. In other areas, he's not been successful. But, geez, give the guy some support if he's working in your interest. Be out in the street.
Okay, you have time. I would say this, though, that you also got to look at your personal situation and see what you can do and try to do that. You know?
Okay.
Fair enough. But perhaps a lot of people can't get out in the streets like that or keep getting out in the streets every single time.
I don't accept that.
But do what you can.
People can get out if it is in their interest. They should get out. Nothing else makes sense to me. If it's in your interest, be out in the streets and be active in promoting or supporting those people or systems that are trying to get things done. But to do nothing, it's ridiculous. It really is.
Well, I would still say that there's a confusion when I'm talking to people. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that I see that people are confused on which way to look at this. Some people are not doing their homework. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. But I agree with you.
I understand your point very clearly.
Where you can.
And I thank you for contributing today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that brings us to the end of our program today. I thank you all for contributing. And we'll come back to each other again and talk some more. How about that? And the anvil would be gone from my head. Thanks again. Bye-bye.